It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That is an audio taken by ProPublica, allegedly at the border. That's a border agent's voice that you hear speaking. It's all in Spanish. You hear some of them crying for their daddy, some crying for their aunts, asking to call the aunt, and the border agent trying to calm them and comfort them. It's very moving. Of course it is. Who wants to hear children crying like that with grief at the loss or separation, the uncertainty of what they've been through? I want to talk about that today a lot, and I'm going to actually open the phone lines, not yet, so just hold off. But this is Nancy Pelosi and others on the left have comments about this. Let's listen.
What is it that they are thinking? Do they think these children deserve less than their children do in terms of care and love?
Those who selectively use the Bible to justify this cruelty are ignoring a central tenet of Christianity. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children unto me." He did not say, "Let the children suffer."
We are operating with a white nationalist government that will take children hostage to get what they want.
All I can say after talking to the people, watching the people, listening to the people, that the Statue of Liberty, I think, is weeping right now.
Okay, so that's the premise. The children are being ripped from their parents, babies from their nursing mothers. This is Trump's thing. He loves it. He doesn't care. It's a tragedy. And so the Republicans or any of us that oppose any kind of restrictions at the border, or certainly these restrictions, which allegedly, according to them, have been imposed by Donald Trump, are horrible, awful people. Father's Day just passed. All the Democrats went out in full, not all, many Democrats went out in full form on Sunday talking about it being Father's Day and how horrible this is. I just have to say, before we get into the discussion too much, of course it's terrible when children are separated from their parents. Have you ever worked with Prison Fellowship with Angel Tree? I used to be the spokesperson for Angel Tree. So I have some experience with children being separated from their parents because the parents committed crimes and they could not take their children to prison. You think those kids, those American children of American criminals, American parents who committed crimes, you think they didn't cry and weep at the separation? But you think it was our fault that the separation occurred? You think it's our fault that the children are weeping and crying? Do you think the children should be allowed to go into the prison with the parents? See, what's happening is dangerous propaganda mind control. It's been happening for decades in this country. And I keep thinking the American people are going to get smart to this, but it doesn't seem like they do. The reason this is happening is because President Trump's policies are actually becoming very popular. The economy is improving exponentially. He's brought peace to us, at least temporarily, with some of our enemies like Iran. He's really put the quietus on Iran and also North Korea. His approval poll numbers are going up as a result of that. And then, of course, this Horowitz, Michael Horowitz, Inspector General report came out, and it's very damning. It's very damning. They have to do something quickly. And so they're doing it. And boy, are they successful. Before I say too much more about that, let's listen to what President Trump had to say.
Immigration is the fault and all of the problems that we're having because we cannot get them to sign legislation. We cannot get them even to the negotiating table. And I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault. They're obstruction. They're really obstructionist, and they are obstructing. The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be. You look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen to the United States, not on my watch. For the rest of the world, you look at everything that's taking place, pick up your newspapers this morning, and you see. We want safety and we want security for our country. If the Democrats would sit down instead of obstructing, we could have something done very quickly. Good for the children, good for the country, good for the world. It could take place quickly. We could have an immigration bill. We could have child separation. We're stuck with these horrible laws. They're horrible laws. What's happening is so sad. Is so sad. And it can be taken care of quickly, beautifully, and we'll have safety. This could really be something very special. It could be something maybe even for the world to watch, just like they're watching our great economy, how it's soaring. They could watch this.
All right, that's President Trump's response. Now, can you imagine the position he's taken? The common sense, he's been taking it since he was running for president. I think many would argue, and I'd be one of them, that that's the reason that he won, because Americans are seeing the fabric of their country change. Because of virtually open borders on the South, policies that began a long time ago, certainly in the Bush administration, President Bush did everything he could to give amnesty and to loosen the restrictions on people coming in on the border. There's no question about that. Don't be surprised that Laura Bush weighed in and said this was breaking her heart. Well, of course. Somehow we have to open our borders to prove that we are not racists, hard-hearted, mean people. So that means the answer is then to open the borders completely and let everyone who wants to come in anywhere come in. Otherwise, we are horrible, racist, selfish, wicked people. That's the premise. That's the way the left always frames everything. You know, if you're against Obamacare, you are a racist. You were a racist. If you were concerned about the truth in Ferguson, that there wasn't hands up, don't shoot was a completely false narrative, you're a racist. You see, these are the choices we're given. And I just don't want you to fall into that trap again. I'm trying to explain to you that we are in the middle of a propaganda battle. And because Americans by now, a couple of generations, well, I'd say many of you have grown up in a generation where the propaganda began to be effective because your education began to be thinner and thinner. Your understanding of world history, the understanding of Stalin, of the Russian takeover, propaganda of Chinese, of the Mao Zedong and what he did in China. I don't think many of you've heard that in high school or in middle school. And certainly our kids don't know anything about it because they're rushing to socialism. They're happy for government to control. They're happy for businesses to fail. They're happy for Bernie Sanders' plan that everybody should work for the government because they don't understand. They don't understand economics. They don't understand the dangers of totalitarianism. And so we are in another, here we are, like the crossroads had ended. It has not. It's up to those of us who are older, who know more, are better informed, have more experience to help people think through this, and that's what I'm trying to help you do. Before I go more, I have to stop myself because I have other things I want to talk to you about, and then we're going to go and open the phone lines. I have a feeling that you want to talk about this, and that's and you should. I think we need to talk. This is something that affects all of us. This is something that probably each and every one of you has an experience with. This is not like me talking about some remote policy in Washington. This is the fabric of our country. We are in this together. And you may not agree with me, and that's fine. I think we should talk about this, don't you? So the phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Yesterday, what I want to bring to your attention, one of the big stories, of course, is the Michael Horowitz Inspector General's report. And Michael Horowitz and Christopher Wray, the current FBI director, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. I'm not going to play the clip because I just want to talk to you about some things. Let's just say that FBI Director Christopher Wray proved himself once again to be a defender of the culture at the FBI in a disgraceful, disgraceful way. Michael Horowitz, of course, the opening paragraphs, the executive summary of his report says that they didn't find any link between any bias towards the president to have affected any policy. But, of course, the body of the report shows quite the opposite. I explained to you yesterday it was political people who wrote the executive summary. But the body of the thing, 500-and-something pages, proves quite the opposite. I'm going to give you a few more examples. One attorney listed in this FBI, in this Inspector General's report, said... So one FBI lawyer said they were numb after the election. One attorney wondered if the election, what I could have done differently. And then another lawyer said, blank, no, vive la resistance. That's one of the FBI attorneys. And that attorney later worked on the Mueller probe until this year. Another employee said, I can't stop crying. And then another employee says, you promised me this wouldn't happen. You promised. And then, of course, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page had a famous back and forth, which just came out in the Inspector General's report, which was completely removed from whatever Congress had seen. They did not see it till the Inspector General's report, where Peter Strzok said to Lisa Page, we will stop this. And that's after the election. All right, so but here's something you have not heard that it's important, and I want to make sure I explain this to you. In this report, they don't give the names of many of the employees, FBI employees, who are saying these more than biased things, horrible things, really, about the president and expressing their intent to do something about this. One of them is referred to as, hang on a second. She's referred to as FBI Lawyer One. Well, we know, because some people know that I know, that it's Tashina, Tash is her short name, Gower. She is literally from the school and law firm of former Obama wingman, Attorney General Eric Holder. She's an acolyte of Eric Holder's. She is FBI Lawyer Number One in this report. Not named, though. Tashina was the mid-year exam. Remember, that's the nickname they gave to the Hillary investigation over her email, who was on the September 29th, 2016 conference call with the FBI New York field office about the Wiener Abedin laptop. Now that's Tashina Gower, FBI Lawyer One, she's called in this report. FBI Lawyer One Tashina Gower was directly at the center, no, the epicenter of the most controversial time frame for the mid-year event team. Tashina was only one of three mid-year exam people who actually had the responsibility to review the Clinton emails from the Wiener Abedin laptop. The other two were Peter Strzok and an unknown lead analyst. Tashina is probably only eclipsed by Lisa Page and Peter Strzok in the level of influence with the entire mid-year team apparatus. Tash, as she was known to the team, is a hub amid a very tight circle. And she's referred to in this is a blog by the guy I mentioned often, Sundance. She's the spawn of Eric Holder, and it's a big deal in the story. And then he goes on to further say, not only that, but you recall that General Sessions recused himself from the investigation? Remember the Russia investigation? Anything relating to the campaign? Because he was persuaded by DOJ lawyers that it was DOJ rules and he needed to do that. Well, guess who the attorney was who talked him into recusing himself and told him that he must, according to rules and regulations? It was Tashina Gower, FBI Lawyer Number One. All right, I want to tell you that Republicans are demanding the names of those anti-Trump FBI employers in that report that were not mentioned because they need to be held accountable for what they've done. We'll see what happens. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Christians in India are experiencing an increase in persecution. They are only about 2% of the population, but still 30 million believers. Localized Christian groups and international watchdogs connect members of the ruling party to Hindu extremist groups implicated in religious freedom violations. Now, others have used divisive sectarian rhetoric to inflame tensions and called for new laws against religious conversions. As Christians in India face increasing persecution, take note that nearly one-third of Pacific Justice Institute's cases are with persecuted Christians seeking religious asylum.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
The Fairfax County School Board in Virginia approved a new sex education policy that removes references to biological sex and replaces it with sex assigned at birth. Critics accuse educators of teaching the children ideology instead of biology. While the school district may have overwhelmingly approved the changes, parents were overwhelmingly opposed. The new policy also removes language that says abstinence is the only 100% effective way to eliminate STDs. The district was also going to remove clergy from a list of trusted advisors, but that plan was reversed after Catholic leaders complained. The school says the policy is more reflective of the human experience. They say it's forward-thinking and inclusive. In other words, one of the nation's largest school districts just tossed scientific fact out the window for the sake of tolerance and diversity. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
DHS is no longer ignoring the law. We are enforcing the laws as they exist on the books. As long as illegal entry remains a criminal offense, DHS will not look the other way. DHS will faithfully execute the laws enacted by Congress as we are sworn to do. As I said earlier today, surely, it is the beginning of the unraveling of democracy when the body who makes the laws, instead of changing them, tells the enforcement body not to enforce the law. I ask Congress to ask this week so that we can secure our borders and uphold our humanitarian ideas. These two missions should not be pitted against each other. If we close the loopholes, we can accomplish both.
All right, that was Krista Nielsen who gave, she's the head of the Department of Homeland Security. She gave a press briefing yesterday that was just incredible. And we're going to put the entire piece on our Facebook page, and I would encourage you to watch it. It's not unbearably long. I think it's probably 25 minutes, but it's worth your time because Kristen lays out so many facts that you need to know that we won't have time to enumerate here, but things that you should know. She puts it in perspective. And then the second part of it, you'll hear the reporters who come at her. They're like, it reminds me of a mob, actually. It's like the irrationality of a mob trying to hang someone. This is what they do. This is what they do to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. This is what they do to anyone who supports policies that many of us agree with. In fact, I'll give you a taste of it. This is one of the reporters, first one up, actually, that questioned Kristen after she laid out the facts. And by the way, let me give you some of them. Since fiscal year 2013, nearly 300,000 unaccompanied alien children were apprehended at the southwest border, almost all of whom were promptly released into the U.S. interior. As the New York Times explained in 2014, this surge of illegal alien minors was incentivized and sparked by, among other things, a 2008 law known as the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. That's the Wilberforce Act, and I know that many evangelicals pushed for this, and I think that many evangelicals have lost their collective minds. I have to tell you that. I don't know when becoming a follower of Jesus made us be stupid. But somewhere along the line, it seems to have happened. We are supposed to accept anything, smile at anything, go with anything. We are not to take a hard line on anything, including disciplining our children. I just, okay, but yes, I've gotten off the rails. Let me go back to this. This Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act essentially gave free U.S. entry pass to unaccompanied Central Americans under the age of 18, because it mandates that upon arrival, unaccompanied minors from Central America must be transferred to the Department of Health and Human Services as soon as practicable, released into the interior of the country to a sponsor. So then we had a flood of these children pass through these dangerous areas, some of them never making it, some of them becoming sexually trafficked in the process. And this good-hearted, just meaning well bill is what has caused this absolutely exponential flow of children over our borders. And so there's more to say about that, but I just wanted to give you that. And by the way, Daily Signal out of Heritage has a great piece this morning, fact-checking four claims about detaining children at the border. I'm only going to pick one so I can get to the phones. Taking babies from nursing mothers. CNN reported last week on an illegal immigrant from Honduras who claimed her nursing daughter was pulled away from her before she was handcuffed. CNN cited a lawyer from a liberal legal group called the Texas Civil Rights Project. But this is what a senior official from DHS said. We do not separate breastfeeding children from their parents. That does not exist. That is not a policy. That is not something that DHS does. We believe that that is false. And I could go on and on with the counter arguments, but that gives you the idea. When you hear this reporter, then we're going to go to the phones. Here it is. Kristen Nielsen has just finished speaking, and she goes to the reporters. Let's listen.
When you see this, how is this not specifically child abuse for these innocent children who are indeed being separated from their parents?
So I want to be clear on a couple other things. The vast majority of children who are in the care of HHS right now, 10,000 of the 12,000, were sent here alone by their parents. That's when they were separated. So somehow we've conflated everything, but there's two separate issues. 10,000 of those currently in custody were sent by their parents with strangers to undertake a completely dangerous and deadly travel alone. We now care for them. We have high standards. We give them meals. We give them education. We give them medical care. There's videos. There's TVs. I visited the detention centers myself. That would be my answer to that question. Yes.
If I could follow up, though, for the hundreds that are not included in there, you said 10,000, but for the hundreds that we have seen, perhaps up to 2,000, are there any examples of child abuse, you believe? And how could this not be child abuse for the people who were taken from their parents? Not the ones who were sent here with their parents' blessing with a smuggler, but the people who were taken from their parents.
Unfortunately, I'm not in any position to deal with, hearsay stories. If someone has a specific allegation, as I always do when I testify, I ask that they provide that information to the Department of Homeland Security. We will look into it. Of course, we do not want any situation where a child is not completely adequately taken care of.
Kristen Nielsen, you can hear that full press conference and the reporter's questions on our Facebook page. And I really, really would encourage you to do that. You should hear this. You should hear how the reporters treat her, the kinds of questions they ask after she has laid out very clearly numbers and facts and statistics. It's pretty amazing. This is whipping you up into a frenzy for a purpose. Please hear me when I say you're being propagandized. All right, I want to go to the phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Lee in Texas, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Lee?
Oh, I'm good, Sandy. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you.
I was calling this morning because I think something has been missing in the middle. I'm a naturalized citizen, and I knew the laws of the United States. I came here legally, spent thousands of dollars to obtain a lawyer to do everything that I was supposed to do. And it took about 7 years through getting my green card and travel document and so forth. And to sit back and hear everyone only speaking of immigration as if though immigration wasn't always in America and immigration was not always taking place. Immigration is still taking place. The fact is we're emphasizing individuals breaking the law, but not seeing that there are law-abiding people who are coming following the laws, and it's an injustice to us. Now, if they want to legalize everyone who's coming over the border, that's fine. But what they then need to do is give me the thousands of dollars I spent back, because if they're going to allow people to break the law and benefit, then they should give everyone who did it rightly their monies back. And secondly, real quick, I have a home, and if I take down the walls of my home, then anyone can come in. And everyone has walls to their houses, and everyone locks their doors. And so why don't everyone just leave their doors open and anyone can come in and sit down and do whatever they want to do within their homes and just squat and take over the houses? I think we're not thinking logically, because we have made this political when it's really about the heart and compassion of men. But mostly what is so sad is, like, for every Christian out there, God says to obey the laws of the land. And if the government isn't obeying its own laws, then it's a tyrannical government. And we truly need to understand, we don't want to be like other countries out there. The reason why I came here is because of the standards that this country had. And now if individuals are being risen up within the government to destroy the infrastructure of the country, which makes people come here for that benefit, then what sense does it make to even come here?
Well, of course, none, Lee. And you're speaking common sense, and you are doing it from a platform of knowledge, which is invaluable. But I have to say, now that you are a fellow American, and God bless you for that, you, as I said many times before, people like you are really the lifeblood of the country. I often think it is like when a church sees someone come to Christ, and they have this new love for God and this enthusiasm that radiates and enthuses the entire congregation as they re-remember the preciousness of what Jesus did for them. I think there is a correlation here. Our new blood in this country coming here because you want to, because you want to pitch in and be one of us, is thrilling. And it really is the lifeblood of this country. And so here's the thing, Lee, now you're in this with us. We're in this together, and we have to fight this nonsense. And a voice like yours is very important. Because Americans have become mindless. They are so easily manipulated by their emotions, and Christians as bad as anyone. It's appalling to me. So we've got to reestablish what's right and what's wrong. And what's right is not always what's sweet and kind and soft. You know, I used to have a neighbor that when I was growing up, she adopted two children because she couldn't have any. And I'll never forget those kids, especially the girl, hitting her mother and screaming and saying, "I hate you, I hate you." And her mother would respond by, "Oh, I love you," and would never discipline this girl. And she thought that was loving. But it was not loving. It would have been loving to discipline. And so that's the principle we have to regain, that understanding that, and certainly it's the heart of God. Man, that's what he does to us always. Who he loves, he disciplines. And so it's not yes to everything. It's not yes to everything. That's not what's compassionate. Not when you're hurting other people. Lee, thank you. God bless you. And like I said, now you're stuck. You're in this with us. So we got to fight together, okay?
Thank you so much, Sandy.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's go to Sean in Texas. Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Sean.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just listening to the program, you reminded me of a comment when you were talking about earlier about what Bill Marsher, I believe his name is, said, that he basically says we need to pray for a recession because the economy is doing so well that the only way we're going to get rid of Trump. Basically begging for people to lose houses, lose jobs, be out on the street so President Trump can look bad. And I look at society where the Uber left wants to take us, it's gone crazy. And the broad stick that they're painting with morality, it's like asking a construction crew, build me a house, but each one of you use a different measuring stick. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. And so I'm a brand new father, and I see where everything's going, and it really honestly worries me, and it just keeps reminding me of Scripture, my people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Yes. Sean, we could package each one of the things you said there today and expand, because they're just very insightful. I can see that God has his hand on your life, Sean. So, hey, listen, we're going to be steadfast. We're going to be steadfast in honoring him and in being bold, and it's going to get less and less popular. But we're riding the waves, as my mother used to say, Sandra Kay, let's just ride the waves. So we're riding these waves right now and trying to inject truth as best we can. Sean, thank you. I want to explain something. One of the foundations of at least the American left, is what was called the Cloward Piven strategy of manufactured crisis. Okay, it's very complicated, isn't it? But Cloward and Piven were professors, I believe, from Columbia. That's a Barack Obama's alma mater. Leftists. And they wrote this strategy that basically says never waste a good crisis. You probably heard Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor of Chicago now, but before that was a leftist legislator, very good friend of Barack Obama in Washington. Rahm is ruthless. Anybody from Chicago knows that. And he said, never waste a good crisis. And he got that from Cloward and Piven. And the idea is that came actually from the European communists dating back to Lenin and others, where you would take advantage of a natural disaster, a strife within a union, grievances between management and people, and you would take basically that bad situation and rub it, irritate the sore metaphorically, turn people against each other, stoke the flames, speak badly, go to one side and talk, and then go to the other side and talk and make them matter and matter and stir them up, and then march in as the person with the answers. I'll fix it. We'll fix it. We've got the answers. That's the strategy of the left. And in modern America, it's called the Cloward-Piven strategy, a manufactured crisis. And actually, there's an old article about that. Adam, if you would find that, please. It's written by Jim Simpson. The Cloward-Piven strategy of manufactured crisis. And as though it's wordy, it's an article that I think you would really benefit from. And that's what's happening now. There's a problem at the border, and they've made it into a crisis. They've whipped it up. They've passed laws and not passed laws. And this goes back to George Bush and before him in 1998. Because Republicans, many of them, have been just as bad as the Democrats. And they have created chaos. And now they want to have, oh, how horrible. Hillary Clinton's going to be our champion on this. It's amazing. I want you to actually, how long is that clip? The Hillary Clinton clip, you guys. Let's see. Let's listen to clip 5, because I want you to hear what Hillary Clinton, she's going to say. She's going to fix this. Let's listen.
The president's attempt today to stoke fear of immigrants, not only in our country, but around the world, by claiming that migrants in Germany are causing crime. In fact, crime in Germany is at its lowest level since 1992. Nor are these policies rooted in religion. In fact, those who selectively use the Bible to justify this cruelty are ignoring a central tenet of Christianity.
Yeah, she goes on to say, Jesus didn't say, suffer the little children unto me. He said, he didn't say, let the children suffer. Because Hillary's so concerned about children, especially children aborted, especially selling, dissecting little unborn babies and taking their parts and selling them to others, I remember she was so hot on the UN Convention Rights of the Child, which gave sexual rights to children as young as 12. She's really concerned about the children. That's the kind of lies we're dealing with.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Paul's epistle to the Romans was written to believers. This verse highlights the fact that it's possible for Christians to be conformed to the world's ways. The word conform there means to be squeezed into the mold of another. Rather than being squeezed into the world's mold, the Lord requires us to be transformed by having our minds renewed by God's word. Everything about us must be held up to the light of Scripture, and wherever there's any discrepancy, we must be transformed.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Does God exist? Is the Bible true? Does truth exist?
When people say there is no truth, I simply ask them this question. Is that true?
Join us this weekend for Cross-Examined with Frank Turek, author of the bestseller, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
I actually think it takes more faith not to believe in the truthfulness of the Bible than it does to believe in the Bible.
Cross-Examined with apologist Frank Turek, Saturday morning at 9 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of President Trump's most important legacies may be the U.S. Space Force, whose establishment he embraced yesterday. The need for what would be a new sixth military service arises from the fact that the high frontier of space is increasingly vital to both our national security and to our economy, and even our way of life. Actual and potential adversaries have long recognized that reality. Worse, they have been systematically acquiring anti-satellite and space control technologies capable of threatening our dominance over space and even our access to it. For America's Space Force to be able to deter the use of such weapons against us, let alone defeat them if need be, far more than a new command structure is required. A mandate for U.S. space dominance and the strategy and actual capabilities needed to realize it must be forthcoming, too. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
In the last 5 months, we have a 314% increase in adults and children arriving at the border fraudulently claiming to be a family unit. This is obviously of concern. And separation can occur when the parent is charged with human smuggling. Under those circumstances, we would detain the parent in an appropriate secure detention facility separate from the child.
All right, that was Krista Nielsen again from the press conference yesterday. Sandy Rios back with you. You know, you heard Hillary Clinton mention Angela Merkel. who is the, of course, the president of, or the prime minister of Germany. Anyway, the president brought Angela Merkel up in one of his statements, and he's been criticized for that because, according to Hillary Clinton and others, the crime has not gone up in Germany and there's no problem with Angela Merkel, and that's just absolutely false. Absolutely false. Angela Merkel has pushed, Germany to the brink of disaster with her horrible immigration policies. And one could easily argue that Germany has been invaded. You may recall we had a Bavarian journalist on a couple of months ago who told his story about what's going on in Bavaria. And the reason I mention that is because there is a pending situation in Germany and a huge battle now between Angela Merkel and the gentleman who was the president, the presider over the Bavarian portion of Germany. That's the southern portion. They totally disagree. The Bavarian president wants to stop this immigration, this really invasion from young Muslim men. And Angela Merkel doesn't. And so, according to what I'm reading, she's in danger of losing her power within the next few days. If you ask any German, we had an Austrian woman on recently also, what's happening in Europe in terms of crime? Are you kidding me? When they say crime is down, I'm not sure, that's part of the delusion that people like Hillary Clinton want to cast to confuse people. They are not confined to logic, and they're not confined to truth. And so that's what you get. All right, I welcome any of you who disagree with me on this. I think it would make a really good discussion if you have a different opinion based on what you've seen and heard. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to AD in Texas. Good morning, AD.
Good morning, Miss Sandy. So right off the break, I have to piggyback off Lee with the money back situation because I myself am an immigrant. And I came here legally from Nigeria, had to stand in line for about 7 years before I got even my visa, before even getting approval from the embassy in Nigeria to even leave the country. So I just have to agree with Lee because it's just totally wrong. It's totally unfair for everyone who did it legally.
Yep.
And also, Hillary... My goodness, come on now. Hillary needs to sit down somewhere. Back in 1997, I've been here since 1995. Back in 1997, her husband, Bill Clinton, re-signed authorization to separate children from their so-called parents when they came across the border illegally because they were breaking the law. From 1997, Obama enforced it under the table. It wasn't reported. Okay, so that's just baloney. Another thing is this, for everybody out there who does not understand the immigration system, all right, if you come to any border entry point as a migrant or anybody, if you go there and you say, I am seeking asylum, you and your family automatically come into the United States by just saying, I am seeking asylum. Of course, you go through a legal process, but you're not considered illegal. And your case gets pulled to the front of the line. So there's no reason to try to enter the country legally. You can just go to any entry point and say, I'm seeking asylum. I'm in fear of my life.
Yeah, AD, let me tell people that everything you said is true, including this part about Bill Clinton. You're absolutely on the money, spot on. And AD, the thing I think you know, too, then, that during the Obama years, that asylum policy was absolutely and completely abused and still has been. In fact, they did advertising, as I recall, in Central American countries telling people if they came here and just said, I'm seeking asylum, they taught them the words. That's how Democrats, actually, the Obama administration ran ads in Central America to try to encourage people to come here and to tell them what to say in order to be able to get to the head of the line and to get special treatment. So we are dealing with an abuse of that whole asylum system in addition to what you have just said. AD, thanks. And listen, I say the same to you as I said to Lee. You are a great benefit to this country. God bless you. And I hope, are you glad you came?
101%. Okay. 7 years waiting. Trust me, it wasn't seven years. I could have been doing something else in my life.
Exactly. Exactly.
I waited in line for 7 years and still had to go through another 5 years to get my green card.
Oh, man. Well, and see, but you understand that. I mean, it should be a privilege and a pleasure to be an American citizen. It isn't something that should be held cheaply. And so now they're holding it so cheaply. Yeah. So, okay, AD, thank you. Thanks, and God bless you. Let's go to Joe in Alabama. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Another great job, as usual.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe.
I'm fired up this morning. I am going to try to remain calm. But at any rate, I can't believe I had to follow Hillary Clinton. I am just one poor country boy from Alabama. And it amazes me, these Democrats in between Hillary and Bill, Pelosi, the senator from Feinstein, all these people, Al Gore, the Obamas. These people are worth billions of dollars. I've done more. I heard the Honduran, somebody in Honduras. I get my news on my phone, so I don't recall exactly where it was from. But Honduras is all up in arms because of children, Honduran children being separated from their parents in the United States. I've been to Honduras. I've built homes in Honduras for poor children. How much has the Clintons done? How much has the Obamas done? How much has all these billionaire Democrats done? How much has Tom Steyer done? How many houses has he built in Honduras? How many children has he fed in Honduras? I've been there. I've done it. And it infuriates me that these leftists will do this kind of say this kind of stuff and do absolutely nothing. These people are worth billions of dollars, literally, collectively I'm talking about, and they do absolutely nothing. I never saw them down there. Maybe they were there and I didn't see them. Maybe it's a fairly large country. Maybe they were in another part of the country. Maybe they were near the coast. I was in the mountains. But it frustrates me that these people have the audacity to say this kind of stuff, and the country of Honduras has the audacity to complain. How many Honduran children have had meals supplied by American missionaries just like me? And there's tens of thousands of others of us. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting I'm the one. There's literally tens of thousands of us that go down to those places and help those people and build and feed and provide medical care. And I'm sorry, but I'm horribly upset at it.
Yeah, I understand, Joe, and that's the reason I opened the phone lines today. Because it's like I said, this affects all of us in different ways. And I'm grateful for your perspective. That's what we need to hear, and we must talk about it. As Americans, we must talk about it. Joe, thank you. You know, we know what the Clintons did in Haiti. Remember that interview I did with, can't think of his name. He used to be the Secretary of State in Haiti. And he cried on this show at how the Clintons had sold the resources and raped the country of the island of Haiti, of its natural resources, handing out the contract to all, like the cell phone service to Mrs. Clinton's brother. He detailed all of the things. Gerard something, we should put that back on our Facebook page too, Adam, so people can hear what the leftists do when they are helping these poor children in other countries. I mean, Joe is spot on. You know, and when I'm arguing or trying to make reason with people that disagree with me, especially on the immigration issue, that's one thing I always say, and you've heard me say it. Have you taken any of these people who you have such compassion for into your own home? Have you written out a check? Have you fed their children? Have you done? And the answer is generally no. I was with a cab driver in Washington last week, and he was ranting and raving about the rich. He sounded like Bernie Sanders, only he was like a black Bernie Sanders. And he talked about how horrible corporations are and how selfish. And turns out the driver was on like three different government pensions and doing pretty well. And I asked him, I said, all right, sir, I'm just wondering now, are you supporting any of these poor families that you're so upset about and you're troubled about? Are you and your wife supporting anyone, giving money? No, I'm not doing that. The government should do that. See, that's the point. The government is us. It is our money. And it is the middle class working person who's bearing the brunt of this, and they don't care about that. They enrich themselves. I sound like Bernie Sanders myself. They enrich themselves and are unwilling to do anything. And I find most people who are on the far left, even people who are just not thinking, they want the government to do all of this, just to write endless checks And they're not thinking. They are just not thinking. Either that or they're willful leftists like the Cloward Pivens, and they're using this to their advantage. Let's go to Esther in Kansas. Good morning, Esther.
Yes, I only heard part of your program, so I'm trying not to repeat. But I am tired of hearing them talking about child abuse on the border. To me, child abuse is when they cut up a child in the mother's womb, and they burn it with those solutions, and they stab it in the brain. They cut the vocal cords so they don't cry from pain. That's not only child abuse. That is murder. And these people who are crying child abuse down there are supporting this. And as long as they're supporting it, supplying the money, the Democrats and whoever else, they are going to stand before God because they are going to be accounted for to be a murderer also. And that is my comment. And thank you for your time.
Esther, very, very well said. Let's go to Patsy, who's been waiting a long time in Louisiana. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Sandy. The thing I wanted to say, everybody stole my thunder, but I'm still going to say it. Nancy Pelosi and Hillary don't give one iota for those children that they keep saying, oh, the poor children, the poor children. All they want those people here for are for votes for the Democratic Party. And when I heard on the radio show, yes, last night, that 10,000 of the 12,000 in this one place were not brought here by their parents. They were sent here by their parents. I mean, it's just all so screwed up. And they're stirring the pot and they're getting people angry because they're playing on people's heartstrings and people aren't listening to the facts.
Yes, exactly, Patsy. Very, very good. Excellent. Thank you. You know, and I want to say, speaking to Patsy's, this is what's happening too, as I've been telling you, and I will talk about it again tomorrow. These immigration bills are bubbling up in the House. And actually, many of us thought that they were not going to pass. And now there's tremendous pressure as though these bills were the answer to this crisis. And trust me, they are not. I'm not going to have time to go into this morning, but we will put on our Facebook page this article called House Compromise Immigration Bill Fails to Adequately Address Broken System. It's published by the Daily Signal, and it's going to spell out. See, now there's going to be a push to pass this so-called comprehensive bill that Paul Ryan has been working on and leadership and trying to get it through to pull one over on the American people yet once again. I'll be coming on the heels of this alleged crisis. Well, it is a crisis at the border, but this made up part of the crisis as the impetus for this. Like, how are members of Congress going to vote against these bills when all of this pressure is being brought about that is not even related to the bills and the text of them? But this is how it works. This is how it works. Okay, quickly, let's go to David in Oklahoma. Good morning, David. Quickly, if you can.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment how Hillary had said the crime rate was down in the European countries.
Yep.
For all those immigrants. And yes, if they go by Sharia law, then the Muslims are not breaking the law because they can do whatever they want to whatever non-Muslim.
That's true, David. No, that's true. And some places in Europe are acknowledging Sharia law. So that's a very good point. Also, we know that the government in Germany especially is so far to the left that they are not fully reporting. We can imagine that here in this country, can't we? That a government might not fully report things that are adverse to their reputation. And so I think that many would say that's what's happening in Germany. Thanks a lot, David. I appreciate your comments. All of you, I'm sorry I didn't get to all of your calls. We'll be talking about this. You know we will, because the Congress is going to be voting on these two bills on Thursday. And by the way, if I had a word, I would just say, call your congressman. If they're going to vote for anything, support the Goodlatte bill. The Goodlatte bill. That's the only bill that's any good at all. The Ryan Compromise is a disaster. Are you surprised? The Goodlatte bill. That's the one that they need to pass if either one of them. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.